Gene Harmon wrote an article, and I'd like to start making a short devotional time before I bring in the prayer and then have the message. Pastor Gene writes this, and this goes so much along with what we're about to see in today's message. He says, as we, speaking of him and Judy, look back on this past year, Judy and I are filled with praise and thanksgiving to our wonderful Lord Jesus for every member of our little church family right here at Rescue. We thank our God upon every remembrance of you, as it says in Philippians 1:3. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in us, our Heavenly Father has been pleased to use us, speaking of him and Judy, as instruments in the sovereign hands, in his sovereign hands, to faithfully declare his glorious gospel for the glory of Jesus Christ, our risen, exalted Lord and Savior. Not only have you, dear folks, supported this ministry with your attendance, your prayers, your monies, your gifts, your talents, for the glory of Christ our Lord, you have ministered to mine and Judy's needs as well. Thank you, he says. He says, as we start this new year together, may God the Holy Spirit be pleased to continue to use us for this very purpose, to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From this little corner of the world that he has created, the greatest title any of his chosen, redeemed, called saints can wear is the title of a servant of the Most High God. May our Lord be pleased to enable us to continue to wear that title for his glory as we have the honor of serving him together. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 once again. Pastor Henry Mahan wrote an opening to this letter to the Philippians. You'll recall Paul was in prison, and the Philippians had sent a brother to minister to Paul. They took him some things that he was in need of. He was under house arrest in Rome. And when this minister came to Paul, he was so overwhelmed with the love of those people in Philippi that he wrote this letter back to him. And Pastor Henry Mahan wrote this. He says, Paul was especially dear to these Philippians. He was the preacher who had brought them the gospel. And upon hearing that he was a prisoner in Rome, they sent their minister. And I apologize. I'll try to do the best. Epaphroditus. That's the best I can do. They sent this man to him with presents and good wishes. Presents and good wishes. And then he sent this epistle back to them by their minister. Now the design of this epistle is seven things. To express his love and affection for them. To give an account of his imprisonment and the results of it. To encourage them under affliction and persecution. To excite them to love, unity, and peace among themselves. To caution them against false teachers who were trying to mix Moses and Christ, the law and the gospel, grace and works and salvation. To exhort them to a holy life and behavior, and then to give thanks to them for their care for him. In our first look at this epistle, we took note of Paul's declaration that he and Timothy were servants of the Lord. Paul didn't declare himself an apostle in this letter and Timothy something else. He declared them both servants. And by doing so, he was admitting that they were willing servants. That was the title of our first message. Talked about willing servants. How at one time we were unwilling, now we're willing. Not just servants though, they were willing servants, made willing in the day of God's love, in the day of his power. For we all come into this world exercising our natural will, a will that is bound by the bondage of sin. A will bound by our very nature, dead in trespasses and sin, enmity to the things of heaven. Yet now, they are declared for all to know that these men are servants, willing servants. In our second message, we considered the words grace and peace out of verse 2. And we considered the order. Grace must come before peace. Those who have not received the grace of God can have no peace in this world. The only peace we have is by His grace, and that He is gracious to us. We are saved by grace, not of works, lest men should boast. And this grace brings peace between the elect and God. I once heard a story. A man who attended church just about every Sunday would come in and sit by himself. And for the most part, he stayed to himself throughout services, and after services he would get up and leave. One of the members of the church approached this man, and I can't recall for the life of me what it was that the member mentioned to him. But I do remember the part of what his comments was. After speaking what they said, this man who sits by himself said, "You know, I don't come here to join in on your partying type of attitudes." He says, "I come here to worship my Lord and Savior." And that stayed with me because I thought about how sad that must be to not have fellowship. Now, don't take me wrong. I don't judge this man one way or the other. I don't know whether he's a saved man or not. But speaking from my own experience, I love fellowship with the saints. I love sitting around talking on Friday night after Bible study. We've started having discussions. We've always had a question and answer time. And to be quite honest with you, Pastor Gene is a way better teacher than I am. And usually when he's done with a lesson, there's not a whole lot to question. He's kind of answered it. Many times I've sat there at the table and think, I've got to have some kind of a question. He's already answered that. And I'm not the only one. You can ask anybody who comes. Ask Roger. He's done the same thing. You know, Pastor Gene's a good teacher. But we have such a wonderful time now, sitting around having fellowship, talking about what it was we just read. Or how about the things of the world? All this stuff that's going on in the world around us, sitting around talking with you folks about how we're dealing with it. First off, it can remind me that I'm an idiot. It can remind me of how weak I am and how much I need my Lord and Savior, because I can start getting very judgmental about what's going on down there in Sacramento or all the other places around me. And by talking and having fellowship with you folks, it brings me back to that point of remembering that my flesh is weak. Reminds me. That's what we're to do, isn't it? We're to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ when they're weak. But then we fellowship on the discussion of who our Lord and Savior is. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that me, a sinner, has a Savior? I'm not going to sit here and brag on my sins. I don't want to do that. But I'm going to brag on my Lord. Oh, what fellowship we have, and how sad it is for some one of God's children, possibly, who does not have that fellowship. I thought to myself, what a sad thing it must be to miss out on the joy of the fellowship with the saints. Is there not a joy, a fellowship in you? Look at verses 3 through 5 of Philippians chapter 1 with me, if you would, please. Paul has just received these goods from the Philippian church, from the saints at Philippi, and after introducing in his letter who it is that's writing, praying grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's what we just read in that article by Pastor Gene. I thank God, he says, of every remembrance. I'm telling you, folks, this is what I hear from my brother, my loved one, my pastor. John, give the brothers and sisters at Rescue my love. Tell them how much Judy and I miss and love them. He says, not in these exact words, but in words of his own, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's been gone, what, a year and a half? Something like that, I think, yeah. And it's as fresh in his mind today as it was the day he left. What a joy God has given that man and that woman in their hearts with the people of this congregation. They're having fellowship with other saints now. It's not that they're without fellowship. But this is the fellowship he'll remember forever. This is the attitude that we need to cultivate towards other believers. Leave off the judging and the criticizing and finding fault of others around us. Our attitude should not only be to thank God for one another, but praying for His grace and His peace to be with all believers. That's my desire for you. Lord, what should I preach this Sunday? What should I bring before your children? Here are the words that God speaks to me often. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. So how can I comfort them? What is it they need comforted from? Same thing I do. I need comfort from myself. I need comfort from the world around me, the chaos that's going on. Not just in today's time, but the chaos throughout all the world. All the things that have happened. The chaos of false religion. Here's a poem. I'm not sure who the writer is. It goes like this. It says, may he, by whose kind grace we meet, send his great spirit from above, make our communication sweet and cause our hearts to burn with love. Loving one another is the greatest sign of us being children of God. I say this with all sincerity, folks. I take great joy in looking forward to this Sunday, to next Friday night, to the Sunday after that. I enjoy meeting with you. Yesterday, Kathy and I were blessed with the chance to have dinner with some friends here at the church, some friends that we would spend time with many years. We rode motorcycles together with them, played golf with them, traveled with them quite a bit. Very, very dear friends. Carnal friends, though. We all have friends like that, don't we? We have family like that. Do we not have sweet fellowship to a certain degree with our families, our children, our loved ones, our friends? And we had a great time. We spent a great time. Not once did we talk about the Lord. It just is not in our dear friends to talk about them yet. The door was open. If they would have, the Lord would have given them even the ability to ask one question, I would have been all over it to the best that I could. I even thought maybe giving them a tour through the building might open the door for them to ask, but the Lord just didn't have it so. But we had a good dinner. But it's not like the fellowship that I'm having with you right now. We love what we hear from the Lord, don't we? We love the fact that He gave Himself for us, don't we? As sinners, we see the love that He has for us, therefore we love Him back. I have such great joy in my heart coming together with you. Look over at the 10th chapter of Hebrews for just a moment, will you? Mark your place in Philippians, because we'll come back to that. Fellowship with the saints, it would seem, is a necessity. I can't imagine what it's like for Larry and Gladys living in Reading not having any fellowship with true believers. I know my brother Lee and his wife Shirley live in Colorado, and they've only met two, and they don't always have fellowship with them. It's a hit and miss thing. Busy lives. But our Lord makes it pretty clear here in Hebrews chapter 10 that fellowship with the saints is an important thing. In fact, it's so important, it was important enough for God to tell us here in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That's what I was talking about just a little bit ago, on how I need to be able to fellowship with you. You bring strength to me. God brings strength to me through your experiences, just as the Lord uses my experiences to give you strength in certain things. Let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, the Lord's day is coming soon. I know they've been saying that for a long, long time, though. And they could be saying it for a long, long, long more time, but the day of the Lord is coming for all of us sooner than we know. It may not be the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in the full of His glory coming down from heavens, but one day you and I will walk through that door marked death, and that will be the returning of the Lord if we are His. Absent from the flesh is to be in the presence of the Savior. Back to our text in Philippians. Look at verse 4 again, if you would, please. "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." You see, I wonder if there was any joy in that poor man. Does he have the same joy that I have and sitting at the table with Brother Mike and his wife Shirley, eating some sugar cookies this morning, or donuts? Oh, I just gave you a... Sorry about that, brother. All right, for those of you who aren't here, there was a bunch of other people sitting at that table eating sugar too. Oh, the joy that we have talking about what we studied in Bible study. Talking about how it is all that chaos going on around us is in the control of the one who works all things after His purpose. We got nothing to worry about, do we, Mike? No. Bring on whatever you want out there, world. Our God's bigger than anything the world has. You ain't got nothing to worry about, Cheryl. If God takes you home on your trip out to Utah, you're going to be in a better place. And if He doesn't, He's going to take care of you perfectly. Nothing this world has can overcome the power of God. What a joy there is in fellowship with those that you love. Folks, we walk through this world surrounded by the curse that is upon it. We see the truth of what this world is and what it's destined to. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear not the things of this world because we stand on the promises of God. Amen. The promise that God's people shall not be forsaken. The promise that all of those for whom He died shall come to Him. The promise that we can hold on to being joyful in knowing that all things are for our good. And we take great joy in fellowshipping with the like-minded saints who know these very things. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Philippians chapter 2, will you? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Oh, Paul took it such a joy knowing that the saints were all of one mind, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know what my brother, Pastor Gene Harmon, holds on to every day is that the gospel is still preached right here in Rescue. That the family of God that God gave him is still able to hear about Christ and Him crucified. So many churches in the world today, Charles Spurgeon's very own church, over 2,000 people. There was at times, I think I might have the wrong number now, but I think there was like 200 men who would show up before services just to be a part of the men's group, the prayer meeting. And I believe it was within 5 years, maybe even less, that church had returned to Arminianism and had left the sovereign grace of God behind. They had turned to the works of men. Fulfill ye my joy, he says. That's what Pastor Gene. That's what he says to me. Fulfill ye my joy, John. Keep preaching the gospel. His favorite phrase to me is this: keep on, keeping on. Just keep doing it, John. Just keep doing it. There's nothing new. It's the same story that's been told for generation before generation before generation. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This is it not natural to love one who is like-minded? How exciting is it to visit another church anticipating great fellowship? We've got three churches. If you want to travel a short ways, there's a church being held over in Marysville. I encourage folks to go over there and visit once in a while. They would love to see people who support them from over here too. It's a good thing to notice that there are more of God's people around. We're in a small remnant as it is. Go down to San Diego and visit the folks down there in San Diego. Go up to the Dalles, Oregon. Visit the people in Dalles, Oregon just for a weekend or whatever. But man, I can tell you from experience, it's just a great joy to have fellowship with the saints no matter where they're at. I've shared this story before, but Kathy and I were pulling into Don Fortner's church back there in Danville, Kentucky, and they got if I remember right, it was kind of a vine type of barrier at the front gate of the long driveway. It goes up to the hill of the church. And we pulled up, and there was a elderly gentleman sitting there, he was working. He was a groundskeeper. He was up there in age, too. He's like Michael, just strong as a horse still. And We pulled up and rolled the window down. Hi! How y'all doing? Are you here for the conference? Both Kathy and I just perked up and smiled. Yes, we are. Is this Don Fortner's church? Boy, yes, it is. Come on in. That's the kind of result. That's the very same kind of greeting that I have had at every church I've ever visited of God's saints. The Dowells, Chris Cunningham's. Who else did we go visit? Is that it? I think that might be it. But still, oh, the fellowship of the saints. How wonderful it is to talk about our Lord and Savior with people who know Him. But even better yet, people that He knows intimately. What a joy. How exciting it is to visit another church anticipating the fellowship. Do we not get excited when we think one that we are speaking with, one that we have crossed paths with, may know the Lord of glory, the very same Lord that we know? I deliver freight for a living, and I see a lot of people. I cross a lot of paths, and I can tell you from experience that there's been a lot of times where I've gotten very excited. Oh, could this be one of God's children right here? One that I've never met? Could this be one who loves the Lord as I do? Could this be one that the Lord loves as He loves me? I've been disappointed so far. Most of them have not. Some I don't know. They went on their way and doing other things. But it excited me that they might know the very Lord who became flesh. Look at verses 5 and 8 of chapter 2. 5 through 8 of chapter 2 with me if you would. Let this mind be in you, our Lord says, or Paul says, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God. Three distinct persons, one God. You cannot worship the Father if you do not worship the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But made Himself of no reputation. We were talking about this in the Bible study this morning. We were talking about the servants. How God Himself became the servant to those that serve Him. I know that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? But everything serves the Lord. Yet He served His people, His chosen, by becoming our substitute, by giving Himself for us, by laying down His life and becoming sin for us, so that we would be righteous in Him. But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I know it's strange to think of it, but through this sad description here of what had happened to our Lord and Savior, that brings great joy to this sinner's heart. Because if He hadn't have done it, I would have had to take all that I have earned, all that I deserve upon myself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I love to tell the story of Christ in all His glory. What about you? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, please. We walk through this world cursed by sin. And sometimes we feel alone, don't we? The prophet said this. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" It seems so few know the true and living God. Too many have fallen for the lie of free will, the lie of works, the lie of self-help. If you'll just come to the front of this church and pray the prayer, God will accept you. If you just get into this water and be baptized, God will accept you. If you just show up on Saturday, pardon me. We want to so badly relate to those around us, don't we? So much so that we may even tend to compromise our belief in order that we might have fellowship. I know those who do. I know those who do. What do you mean, John? You compromise it. I'll sit there and let them talk. And when they tell a blatant lie about a Jesus that can't help anybody, I don't say what I should. I compromise my belief in order to have fellowship. But God's chosen people cannot have fellowship with darkness. When one has been given the gift of faith, the gift to believe the truth, when our great Lord and Savior shines the light of who He is, God Almighty in the flesh, when He shines the light of what He's done, He went to the cross, His name is Jesus, because He shall save His people. Not maybe, not might, shall. When He shined the light of where He is right now, sitting on His throne, working all things out after His own counsel. I'm not waiting for you to do something, the Lord is saying. I'm doing it. When one has been born again by these truths, we cannot walk in the fellowship of a lie. At least not for long, anyway. For our God will not lose one for whom His blood was shed. Are you with me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 14 through 18, please. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Folks, I know people. I know people who believe that if they will go to a church that preaches lies and hang out with that church, that those people will see in them something different and leave that church and come with them. That's not the way it works. God has to move in the hearts of people to move them. It is God who works in the hearts to change men. It is God who worked in this man's heart to change him from what he was before. It was God who worked in the heart of Mike Loveless to change him from what he was before. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship? We're talking about the joy of fellowship with the saints. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath he, hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What joy there is in fellowship. fellowship that we have with a brother or a sister who stand in the grace of our Lord and Savior. What joy we have in sharing our love for one another, for one who first loved us, with another. Look now, if you would, over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We have a common joy. We have a new heart. And a new heart has the same joy all God's children have. It's a joy in our Savior. A joy that we sinners have in common. A Savior. His name is Jesus. For He shall save His people. We are saved by the grace, not of works, lest we should boast. Our Lord says, "And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Are you with me in 1 Peter chapter 1? Look at verses 2 through 8. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, those who were chosen in God the Father before the world was, those that it speaks of when we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." This is who He's addressing. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that makes us holy in Jesus Christ. It is not something that we do. It is not something we can do. There is no holiness in us unless Christ is in us. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. All blessings flow through Him. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There's that very thing we looked at last week. Grace first, peace comes with that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Can't take it away from us. What was promised to us before the world was ever created cannot be taken away, because God the Son assured that promise would be done. An inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in your heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now again, if you would turn back to 2 Corinthians. I'm just about done, so bear with me just another moment, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. Oh, to have fellowship. To have fellowship with the saints is to have fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To have communion. Togetherness of the Holy Ghost, May it be with you all, Paul says in that 14th verse. I ask you this morning, folks. Where is your joy? Is there fellowship in your joy? Our Lord says in the 15th chapter of John, verse 11, He says this, "These things have I spoken unto you." Unto you, His children. What can I say to the Lord? What can I say to the Lord's people that would bring comfort to them? "These things have I spoken to you," He says, "that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." My prayer is this, folks. In our text, we read verse 2 through 5. "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Where is your joy this morning? And is there fellowship in your joy? Will you stand with me, please?